There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
There's John.
Jai Guruji.
Jai Guru.
Jai.
Okay, switching to speaker view. So we have just the one person.
Hi. Good morning. Good evening.
Good evening. Jai Guru.
Jai.
Trish, I'll ask to start your video because you're just a little black square right now. Okay, there you are.
My screen gonna be black, but I'm gonna be there because I didn't finish my lunch, and I want to finish it.
Okay. No
worries. little problem with the timing, but it's okay. It's important.
Okay. To be there for me.
Where is he?
At lunch.
No, what state or what country?
Canada, Quebec, Canada.
Canada, there
we go. Nice.
Canada.
But that, of course, is the location of the physical body within the illusory existence.
That's right.
So where is the question? Where are we?
Exactly. Where are we not?
Yeah.
Where?
Everywhere. Nowhere and everywhere.
Exactly.
And the dream called I am somebody else that is within your own self. You have a local identification, but that's only within this dream. Hey, Keith. Hey, Guru.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Hi. Keith. Hi. Oh, Naman.
Yeah, I was reading, I think it was Amrit Leia, where Siddhameshwara Maharaj said, ego is nothing but a persistent memory. And of course, that memory is false.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Persistent memory.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
I guess it thinks it can actually do something, huh?
Indeed. Well, think that you are something that can somehow affect other things, which will appear to be true from the body-based perspective. If I believe myself to be a body, then I see this body as able. And you see, like, well, I'm quite able to make a decision and move forward with this and have this happen. And I know, like, if I go and do something wrong, that I'll get into trouble or such and such. But that's only because it's of identification with a body form. But when you know yourself as formless, all this form is appearing and disappearing within your own selfless self. So decisions are spontaneous without having to interpret a world through a mind that you're supplying power to, that you a lot of times will say, oh yes, Mr. Mind, I bow to you because you're so strong and powerful. When I do meditation, you always throw me off the track and you're always putting thoughts in front of me about things that I have to take care of and all of this. But then you step back, oh, I'm supplying the power to this mind. This mind is my servant. Therefore, I use this mind, as Maharaj says, sparingly, like pickle. You know, you don't make a sandwich and put 45 pickles on top of it. You might enjoy a little pickle, but you're not going to pickle your sandwich completely. So it's the same when we give ourselves over to this mind that we're giving the power to. And all because of a wrong perception of, I am somebody else, causing something to happen. Instead of just remaining formless and observing the happenings as they occur in the moment, and taking no credit for anything, knowing that, well, I'm not a doer, there's no deed. How would this formlessness that I am do anything? It just provides the space, the background for these activities to appear to be, and only for a limited time.
It's like I think I have a memory that can help me remember and do stuff, but if I observe it, I also can see that memory is taking place whether I think I'm doing it or not, I guess.
Well, and see, the memory takes place from the point of view of I'm somebody doing something. This is not true. So this memory is false, and yet you're impressing this memory on yourself that, you know, I had this vacation, I did this thing, I did that thing, all because of belief in being a body. When you remain with yourself as self, these memories sort of, as we were speaking about, they lose their bite because, okay, this is something that almost like it's just a play on the screen that I saw, but I don't get so involved in saying, I did this or this happened to me, this good thing, this bad thing. It loses everything because I know myself in a real sense. It's just the memory is wrong because the identification with the body is wrong. And anything that the body does, I'm not doing.
And sometimes I could say what's going on is memory, but I can just as well say what's going on is anything. But
well, what's the difference between sitting and daydreaming and fantasizing and a memory?
Yeah.
It's just scenes appearing on the screen of mind that you're observing. Now, of course, if it's personalized because of your belief in being a body, then you sit back with your bag of popcorn and you have a lot of interest in the scenes playing on the screen and the desire to change what has happened, or, oh, I wish that would happen again, or, oh my goodness, this I must avoid at all costs, because there's belief in I am somebody else, rather than spontaneous happenings in the moment that aren't remembered any more than, it's like, you know, when you used to have Polaroid picture, you'd take the picture would be there, and it was like frozen in time, so to speak. And now most people, because of the digital age, can take 100 selfies and delete 99 of them. Just like this, oh, they're gone, and just keep the one. Now, this is the same, you're able to just discard everything. You know, if you were to go out in the morning and just start taking digital pictures all day long, but then erase them in the evening. They're not stored anywhere. Because this is just, okay, these things are happening. Tomorrow, more things will seem to be happening that are not happening. But once I know myself in a real sense, then I don't try to hold on to anything. I don't plant a flag and say, this is my belief. This is where I stand. This, where you stand, you're formless. Where are you standing? Formlessly, stand somewhere.
Consciousness, it seems that consciousness takes instant flashes of every moment, and we are attracted by the flash, and people already consider that a body. And I think that flash is the past already, even though we're, oh, wow, look at this look at this moment that we've captured. That's already the past. You know, you're already talking about something and going away from the self, you know? I think it's right before the flash is taken, right before consciousness takes a picture of what we call the now. I think it's already too late, you know? I don't know if that makes sense, you know? And I try to live there. That's where I seem to live. I seem to be, you know, my life partner touches me once in a while and I feel that I'm back in the past. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but I think the mantra keeps me there prior to the now, you know? And there's something right before the now, what people consider the past, you know? And I think that's where we reside, you know? That's why we have these talks, I guess.
But the knowledge that you exist, as soon as this knowledge of existence comes, then there's a looking for what is this existing. But when you just remain formlessly with your own self, you know, that's why scenes appear and disappear. Somebody calls your name and immediately you pay attention to what's going on. But when they're not calling your name, then you're just formlessly with your own self. And this is
indeed. Oh.
This is the reality while we're in this body form. And the problem, so to speak, or the confusion is when we hear our name and then we get involved in the activity rather than, okay, I was formlessly with my own selfless self. Now I'm over here. For a moment, I just do this and then let it go. Or over here in this moment and let it go. But I don't really, the knowledge of my existence doesn't birth the concept of being a person. The knowledge of existence is just like for a brief second, someone calls your name or you need to do something or this or that. Of course, I know I exist if I'm typing. I'm using this body to type. Therefore, there's an awareness that I exist and that there's the activity of typing. But then it should subside automatically because this activity is no more. Therefore, I am no more. And even the presence that we talk about all the time, this sense of presence, this just I, this I am, there's still a knowledge of existence because there's the knowledge of this presence. And that is about as far into the knowingness that you need to go. Well, I exist. There's presence, formless presence, using the body to do something. And there's that presence. That's the knowledge of my existence. But the knower of this knowledge knows nothing. No. So you just remain with your selfless self. And yet, yeah, phone rings. You can't just say, oh, I'm my selfless self. This phone is ringing. This is... No, you pick up the phone. Hello, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Put the phone down. And you're back with your selfless self. Even if the phone call was, oh, you know, mom died or something like this. This is you're experiencing momentarily the sense that I exist so that some activity can be performed, but you know you're not a doer. Because when you did not know yourself, who would do what? Now you have the touch of an existence in a body-based world that you're seeing momentarily. But it's not a persistent memory of, oh, this is happening and that's happening and now we have to do this and now we have to do that. Even though there may be sadness even. Okay, sadness is coming in, but there's not a whole playing of scenes of sadness. It's just like, okay. And again, for your own self, the most closest you can be to any relative who happens to be sick, happens to be dying, or even happens to be dead, is remaining with the presence or your own selfless self that was at one time animating the body of this so-called loved one, when you believe they were separate, or even if they believed they were separate, it's just the one presence. So remaining here, and your entire lineage of family, every one that's ever been born and ever died, this is as close as you can be to them. And like Maharaj says, see yourself as formless, and the master as formless, and the concept of separation dissolves. It's not like I have to figure out this concept of separation or try to break it or try to tear it down. It dissolves because I know myself in a real sense. This formlessness that I am, the same formlessness is in the master. As a matter of fact, this formlessness is the master. The only reason I thought of the master in body form was because I perceive myself as being a body. But the presence that I am went to this master in body form, and the presence in the body form of the master said, you're not body. So now where's the separation? And even oneness, it is not, because oneness can only appear within the illusion. After knowing the sense of existence, I exist. And as soon as that sense of existence comes, clicks with the body, oh, I exist. Why? Because the space in the room had no idea what was inside of it. It couldn't see inside itself. It didn't know enough to know itself that it even existed. And now, clicking with a body, oh, look at this world. Even though this world is within me, because I believe myself to be this body, because the first time ever in ever, I know of my existence. And then Master says, nope, just reverse that. Yes, you know of your existence, but you existed prior to knowing that you exist. And after you don't know you exist, you will still exist. And this in between, this something in the nothing, just goes back to nothing. The space in the room that suddenly realizes I'm alive, I exist, and I'm in a world, prior to knowing this, was just the space, or the sky, as Maharaj says. And now, this is gone. Okay. So the space that didn't know itself now doesn't know itself anymore either, but still is. And in the time that it was here, knew of its own eternal self. That's why Maharaj says this body is a golden opportunity, because the space in the room knows I exist, but then also identifies itself as the space in the room, knowing the existence through the use of a body form, but not identifying with the body form, because understanding that I am the space in which this body appears. Then truly, this body is just an appearance in the consciousness. And the only way consciousness is there, because I exist, of this knowingness knows itself, which then creates a knowing of all that is seen and experienced and done. And yet, of course, the space in the room is not doing anything. The sky is not doing anything. Even when we say, oh, it's very cloudy, it's raining, it's storming outside, the sky doesn't know this. It's just providing the background for this appearance of something to appear. Meaning the storm. Meaning this body.
So the body could make it seem like the knowing of phenomena is limited, but the fact that the knowing isn't really being done by the body, it's being sort of, I don't know if you can even say it's being done by the space intelligence ability, but
the supernatural power within you is how Maharaj says it.
But it's like an unlimited knowing, like the body to the knowing to the body is limited. Although we might think we have unlimited ability to know. In fact, I had a conversation with my brother, and he thinks that it's possible that through the body, humans will eventually know everything.
Within the illusion, that could be true. Yeah. Just like if you lay down a dream tonight and you come up with a superpower that you're able to project your consciousness within every being there, and you have this amazing telepathic capability to project your consciousness into all the beings and know everything that they're knowing all at one time. And what is the use of this? Because in the dream, when you wake up, what was that? So perhaps within the body-based delusion, there's all sorts of things you can do that are completely meaningless and useless. Knowing yourself in a real sense is the only sort of activity worth anything. You know, all this, like, and that's why Siddharameshwara Maharaj really beats on the guys who say, oh, the siddhas, you know, I meditated, I came into samadhi, and now I can do this power or whatever. Well, this is very silly because it's within the body-based illusion. So who cares if you can fly within the body-based illusion? If that's going to distract you from the reality, because now you have this pride of, I can fly. But what is the use of this? After leaving the body, can you fly before you were born? In taking beingness, were you flying? And will you be flying after leaving the body? No. You are that. And everything that appears within your own selfless self is absolutely illusion and can be discarded. And yet, as Maharaj says, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. You don't just look at your children or grandchildren and say, oh, I'm just discarding you because you're meaningless, actually. You don't do that because there is body-based relations and you take care of it. Do the best you can. Because you know yourself in a real sense. But you don't get caught up in powers or thinking about this or thinking about that or how intelligent people will be or, you know, will they have telepathic abilities in the future? Or because that's all within the dream. When you lay down tonight and have a dream, if you're super strong, how does that benefit you when you wake up? But now that we're in this body-based existence, we have an opportunity to know ourselves in a real sense because we know ourselves. See, that's kind of the funny key. We know ourselves for the first time. There's knowingness. Now find out to whom this knowingness appears. It doesn't appear to this body. The body's a dead body.
So you can't know in the normal way of knowing what yourself you can be it, but you can't. And it can be frustrating to my old way of thinking to want to know, you know, it's like who knows? I can't really know who knows in a normal kind of answer.
Well, it's not knowing like, it's knowing like somebody puts a candle on your arm. You know you're being burned. It's a spontaneous happening. Now you know you exist. And for a time, this that you are that did not know you existed now know you of your existence through a body. The wrong identification is, I am the body. This is me. But this is not me. The me is more like space and more subtle than space, because space appears within that that you are. From the knowingness. So don't get caught in the words knowingness and I am the knower and these sort of things. Find out who you are. You just remain. So I, whatever I am, I'm something that's so subtle that I can feel the most subtle presence. The just I, the I am, the sense of existence. I can sense this. So I'm so subtle that I can sense this. And now I meet a master who tells me the entire world appears on this presence, this subtle sense of presence that is felt. And now I know this presence. And the presence is formless. The only reason I know this sense of presence is because I have a body form. So the illusion of duality can appear. And this knowingness can arise. Oh, so that I am that. And now the world has dissolved. And I remain with myself as self. I don't have to figure anything out. That's the black hole that sucks in all the illusion. And if you have to, for a time, if there's still a concept of duality, then you worship this subtle presence as God. Yes, Master. Yes. Yes. If you're going to pray to something or do bhakti to something or do devotion to something, do something to this with this very, very subtle sense of presence. Because this subtle sense of presence is the knowingness that will know your own self. And it's presence knowing presence, consciousness knowing consciousness. Oh, so that I am that. I have nothing to do with this body, this world, this anything. And now that I know this, there's no I here. There's no you, me, he, she, it, anything. It's just presence and appearances, forms being created with the five elemental form and dissolving and creating and dissolving, and the presence, the power, the energy is moving everything. But you are unmoving. You know this. How can this presence move? Even if you say it would jump into a body and animate a body, if presence is inside and outside the body, the form body may be moving, but the presence in which the form body is appearing is unmoving, eternal, constant. The sense of existence is coming and going, because prior to beingness, no sense of existence. After leaving the body, no sense of existence. And yet, while you have this body, you know yourself in a real sense. So this concept of birth or death, it does not make sense, because the space in the room that suddenly knows it exists is not going to leave when this body drops and can no longer know or sustain the essence of the space. And yet the space very much is. You are not body. You are not body. You're not going to remain the body. Body is not your identity. You must find this for yourself through direct experience of your own self. And you that's experiencing the direct experience is the formless presence with the misidentification of being a body. And by experiencing yourself directly, this body concept dissolves. And you're not dissolving it. It's just like a mirror and a clean mirror. Or like we said, when you take a magnifying glass and the sun is beaming down and it can burn. Well, it's the same thing. It burns away all concepts because recognition in the projection in a clear mind that has nothing to do except reflect your own self to yourself and burn away everything in between. But you must experience this. Listening to the talk is very nice because there's a part that says, oh, yes, so that I am that. There's a concentration. Presence is concentrating on its own self and discovering that the speaker and listener are one and the same because this vibration, this resonance, presence to presence is occurring. But now I must remain. Maharaj says meditation, very, very important. Know yourself in a real sense. Like Maharaj says, meditation is not just sitting like this, chanting mantra over and over and over. No, it's consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence, reflecting and knowing that all of this is a projection on your own self or self. On, in, you can use any of these, on or in or through, because formlessness has no direction in which you can say over here is the left, over here is the right, up here is up and down here is down. Formlessness can't, you can't do this. When you're speaking of yourself, knowing yourself in a real sense, there's no up, down, past, back, forward, sideways, nothing, because this is you. How? And as we're going through the body-based existence, we can say, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. And as Maharaj says, you're not bowing to Master in this way in body form. You're bowing to your own self or self. Thank you, Master. Everything's going to work out because there's nothing to work out because there's no deed, no doer, you're formless. You may be observing this body going through whatever this body is going to go through, but you're not in it. It's in you. That's why this wrong perception, I am a body, this has to be discarded. And it doesn't even have to be discarded by you. You just have to remain with your own selfless self. And you that you are recognizes, I am nothing to do with this world.
It's all relative, but I'm not.
Well, you're nothing. So any something that is happening can't be your own self. You're just kind of providing the stage. And you see yourself acting in this role of being somebody, and that's okay. You just don't take the touch of being somebody. This is why Maharaj says, if you go to play King Lear, you do a very nice performance. They write up wonderful things about you. But you don't go and like try to start a kingdom. You go home and you do your normal duties and you're happy that you played this very good role and did a 100% excellent job playing this role. to the best of your ability. You're playing the role of Keith for a time, but you're not involved in the role of Keith. If the next scene says, Keith is going to experience falling down the stairs. Oh, this is not good, but Keith is going to experience falling down the stairs. But the formlessness that you are didn't fall.
Oh.
So in that sense, nothing happens.
Correct.
Not to me.
Now you discover this for yourself. You discover that there is no Keith.
Hmm.
Keith is a role that I'm playing for a time. But now I know myself in a real sense. This character of Keith is just an appearance within my own self. Anyone that Keith is supposedly interacting with is also within my own self and is my own self. They're just appearances. It's only because I identify myself with Keith that there are others. And now I know myself in a real sense. There are no others. How can there be others? Other what? Other lumps of goo. Many lumps of goo that are speaking. And even maybe believing themselves to be that lump of goo, but now you know you are not that.
It's as if I no longer have any use for consciousness. And since then, it's as if the universal consciousness is just playing in front of me, you know? And I say, but this form no longer is identified with itself. And it's not like I'm totally blank to the world or blind to the things I used to see, but I feel as if I'm the director, you know, just to give it a name or something, you know, but I feel as if just the universal consciousness is in control now. And the individual consciousness that was tied to that is no longer there, you know, and I feel that, you know, I feel that, just to use words, you know,
exactly.
It is that.
In reality, the individual consciousness was just an appearance. With the appearance of I exist, there came this consciousness, which then created the concept of being an individual and having an individual consciousness. But all of that is a play of the universal consciousness.
Hmm.
I guess that's sort of like the Buddhist have the mandalas, that all these different figures within the mandala is expression of that, I guess.
This could be. Because there's nothing. Now that you know this, play your role. Do quite good this role. But it's not you. Nothing's happening to you. You're not going through anything. You're not experiencing anything. These emotions, these thoughts, whatever they are just flowing by. And even in the role, okay, the role may call in this moment for some sadness to come. Oh, this feeling of sadness is here. But there's no one to feel sad. And the same, this feeling of extreme happiness is here. But